Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, guys, we are almost through the Sermon on the Mount. We've got sort of two passages of Scripture we're going to cover this morning, and then we have, you know, the Build Your House on the Rock passage, which is sort of the end of the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you really enjoyed kind of going through this series? Yeah, it's really great because you can't skip anything. You know, you're just like, well, I don't want to talk about that. Ooh, like that topic. I know Jesus said it on that, you know, famous Sermon on the Mount, but do I really have to do that, right? So there's nothing, you can't skip it when you walk through the whole thing, which I've really enjoyed. And then next week we're working on like a little handout sort of summarizes the Sermon on the Mount, all the different things we talked about. Sid's working on that for us. But here's what I love, is that God has orchestrated the week by week to always line up with like things that are going on either in this world or in this church. And we had talked about, Pastor Liz talked about the narrow gate a few weeks ago, but then it was like we weren't quite done with the narrow gate, and it was a perfect Easter message about really the narrow gate is the way, and the narrow gate is Jesus. And it only stands about 2 feet wide, and He is our way to freedom, to life, to abundant, to everlasting joy and peace and eternity with Him. And so this morning we're going to kind of pick up right after that. And this week's title is called Two Trees, Two Fruits, Two Destinies. And we get into, and of course it was two gates, really, from last time. I didn't call it that on Easter Sunday, but Jesus is really, he's profiling here two opposite things. Two different sides of the spectrum. Two different types of gates last week, but two different types of trees, two different fruits that come from those trees, and then two different destinies. And I'm going to walk through this first passage of Scripture here. So Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. It says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Just stop there just for a second. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We'll dig into it. We could probably spend a lot of time on this. And there's a lot of talk in Christian circles and in social media about this person's false and this person's not preaching this and preaching that. And I want to encourage you, church, that it is every one of our responsibilities to take what we hear and to bump it up against the Word of God. That's like part of the Christian walk. That's part of our job. And when we hear something, and I know people here, I've said things, you know, from here, and I'll get a phone call. I'll be like, hey, could you explain that a little more? What did you mean by that? I actually embrace, I want that. Like, stop. Like, Pastor Jason, like, I understand that further. Because just everything I say, I'm human, and God has anointed me to preach by the grace of God to do that. But just because I'm also human, we each of us have to go and say, wait a second. Let me bump that up against the Word of God, because this is the ultimate truth. This is the ultimate, this is perfection here. Humans, we are not perfect. And interestingly enough, these false prophets, they're coming in sheep's clothing. Ooh, it's like they're sneaky, right? They're sneaky. They're saying things that are like right, but maybe they're not fully right. And you really have to, it's interesting there, but what Jesus is speaking of here says, inwardly, let's just stop right there. Inwardly. This whole Sermon on the Mount has been a challenge to what? Our heart. Every passage of Scripture in here that Jesus is talking about, it always is challenging our heart, whether it be about judging, about marriage, about treating others, or sort of whatever it was always, it's not about the works necessarily, it's always about the heart. And it's interesting that this verse that Jesus says is, at the end of the day, they may be saying things, but what we have to discern is inwardly, where is their heart at? And God is the one who is able to do that. Verse 16, it says, "And you will know them by their fruits." We'll get into that here in a minute. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Makes sense. "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree can bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." Ooh, we talked about fire this morning. That tree's cut down and Jesus isn't with you, the tree gets burned up. "Therefore, By their fruits you will know them. So here we see two different trees producing two different types of fruit. And the beginning of this passage talks about watching out for these false prophets. And I will tell you that as elders of the church, we are also partially responsible for that as well. As an elder of the church, our job is threefold. It's to protect, direct, and correct. No one loves the correction part. Sorry. Right? No one loves when someone comes and corrects them, but that's just part of the responsibility they have. Direct, everyone loves direction and vision. But part of our responsibility also is to protect. And so when someone's leading a small group and we say, what are the different things you're sharing there? We're doing that because it is our goal, as part of what we have to do, is protect what is being taught, what is being communicated, what is being put out there. And like I said before, is your job as a church member, as someone who is part of this church family, your job is to be prayerful about what you read, be directed by the Holy Spirit, and just because they're on Christian TV doesn't mean everything that they say aligns up with the Word of God. Just because they're on Daystar or what, I don't know what, all the different channels, right? But just because they're on there doesn't mean that everything they're saying lines up with the Word of God. So we have to discern. We have to put in the, and I wrote this down, so we cannot 100% put our trust in anyone except for Jesus. You can't. It's impossible. You can't be a follower of anyone but Jesus. And if you say, you know, there's great teachers out there, there are great, you know, people who follow the Word of God, and I'm just going to say some names, and I'm not saying any of these are false prophets. In fact, I listen to a lot of them. But I'm just going to say you cannot 100% put your trust in Joyce Meyer. You cannot 100% put your trust in Kenneth Copeland. You cannot 100% put your trust in Stephen Furtick. And you cannot 100% put your trust in Jason Ackerman. How I made that list, I have no idea. Because I wrote it down. Gosh, Lord, help me. But honestly, we have to say, like, Lord, we have to be responsible to discern the truth. We have to test it versus the Bible. So what types of things are these false prophets maybe saying? At the end of the day, there's a few things that would come out that we would say, look, this is something that I cannot listen to. And the number one is that if anyone says that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. You know, there are theological, you know, differences and challenges on speaking in tongues or the return of Jesus and all these different things that we have to pray and receive from the Lord and rightfully discern and ask questions and do all that. But at the end of the day, if there is anything that says Jesus is not the way to the Father in heaven, we have to call a big time out on that. A big time out. Because Jesus is the way, and the Bible is very clear. If anyone says that works are needed, like, well, you just need to try a little harder, and you just need to, like, you know, do this or do that, from a works perspective, that is not what the Bible teaches us. And I believe, and the Bible is clear, that says anyone who comes and says that the Holy Spirit is not real and the gifts aren't real, again, based on what I read in this Word, says that that is somebody who is not speaking what the Word of God is really saying. And then Jesus' passage then talks about the fruit. So every good tree produces good fruit, and every bad tree produces bad fruit. And this really is, it's just we have to reflect and say, what is the effect of those teachings? What is happening with those teachings? And I can tell you, the works teaching keeps you trying to do good works and trying to do good works, and you never actually get there. Because it's not the actual way. And there is only one way, and it's Jesus. Jesus said this, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do... Ooh, we're a Bible reading group. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So guess what, guys? My tree is linked to Jesus. I'm on his branch. I'm linked into his roots and his vines, because he is the vine and we're the branches. Apart from him, I can do nothing. I have to say, Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. What do you have to say to me? And then Jesus goes on and talks about this bad tree that bears bad fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And again, all of these passages that Jesus is speaking about, he's always coming back to the heart. Where is your heart yet? So what does good fruit look like? It's a good question, right? What does it look like? Does it look like an apple? Does it look like an orange? What is this good fruit? How do we know? When our heart is turned towards God, does it mean that we get everything perfect? No. Does it mean when we're a new believer that we just are jumping around with all of the joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faith, all the things of the fruit immediately? No, fruit takes time to grow, guys. Fruit takes time to grow, but we have to link our tree with the tree of Jesus, the tree of life, the one who truly is the one and only, and he begins to work on the fruit of our life. So in our home, we have, it's not like a formal thing, but Pastor Liz and I talk about it a lot. We call it sort of the indicators of where our heart is. Our indicator of where our heart is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you read through those and you look at those, it is a very clear indicator of where our heart is. And I can tell you, there's been days, weeks, months, and probably the past year, where I read that list sometimes, I'm just like, ooh. Ooh. So my heart is for the Lord, but the fruit is not there yet. He is working on that. And this morning, I think what I want you to take away from this is, are you open and willing for the Lord to show you the things that are blocking you from growing fruit in your life? Are you open and willing to hear from the Lord to say, I have made such and such a thing an idol? Or I have done something in my life, or I'm walking in something where I am not producing fruit in my life as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not walking in that way. And Lord, I want to walk more in that way. The fruit of the Spirit are these. I don't have them up there, but it's love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to go through this list. You're all going to be like, I need a little more of that. I need a little more of that. I need a little more of that. Well, the only way to get a little more of that is to be linked in with Jesus and to allow him to show you what are the reasons why the fruit is not being produced in your life in these areas. A little more kindness, a little more goodness, a little more faithfulness, gentleness, and Lord help us, self-control. And we cannot fully walk in them unless we allow God to do a work in us. Because what you don't see and what people don't see, you see a tree, and you see it's either producing fruit or it's not producing fruit, but you don't see what's going on the inside of that tree. And I've seen many a times where there are trees that seem like they're blooming and they look off, like, what's going on? This poor tree, but they're producing and they're blooming. And I've seen beautiful trees that look great that are actually dead, and the branches are dead on the if you actually really look at it. So I want to be someone who has linked with Jesus and allowing him in my heart to be able to correct and direct me, because I want to produce fruit. Amen? Then Jesus goes on to say, and this is the two destinies part, it says this. And this, the title of this part of this passage is, I Never Knew You. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever read this passage before, going to kind of give you like the little chilly willies. I don't know what that is, but it feels right. Right? You're just like, whoa. Like you get this little thing like, wait a second. Is that me? Ooh. Let me read this to you because I think it's really important. I'm going to end with this passage here in this piece. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wait, what? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So first we stop and say, time out. Somebody better tell me what the will of the Father in heaven is, right? Y'all like, time out. Okay, we'll get there. I won't leave you hanging without that. But here in verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name. Done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. That is such a heavy passage of Scripture. And as I was reading it and studying it, the takeaway was, we did this, the Authority of the Believer series about a year and a half ago, and everyone really loved it, and we were using the name. Guys, there is power in the name of Jesus. And even in Acts, you can read where Paul is going around, and there are people using the name of Jesus and seeing miracles and things done, but the end of the day, the true issue is their hearts. The true issue is their heart. They're using the name of Jesus. They're saying all the right things. They're even seeing things happen by declaring the name of Jesus. Look, at the name of Jesus, every demon's got to flee. So these things begin to occur, but at the end of the day, if your heart is not there, then he will say, I never knew you. And so you get back and say, you look at this verse in here in John 6, verse 28. It says this, and then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered them and said, this is the work of God. This is the will of God, that you will believe in him. You will believe in him who he sent. The end of the day, the will of God is that no one shall perish. At the end of the day, the will of God is that our hearts are turned towards him. That we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is the only way. And this is what Jesus is speaking about here. So what is the way? This question is he says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. What does that look like? It means this, is to believe in Christ and to know him. And you think that sometimes I think we get, it seems to be more complicated than that. And we get concerned that is there more to it than that? You see, when this is the initial piece, when we believe in Christ and our goal is to know him and to know him more, then our lives begin to change. And then our fruit begins to change. And then the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow. And all of these things outflow, not by what we're trying to go do and the works that we're trying to go do, but it comes down to where our heart is turned when it's turned to Jesus. A person who professes faith but does not actually follow Christ and believe in him will be turned away. This is what the Bible says. And church, I can assure you, your words will not save you on that day. Your deeds will not save you on that day. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, you want to come up here? The Bible says, again, I don't have this verse up here, but it says this in John 10, verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, this is Jesus speaking, and I know my sheep, and I am known by them. Would you bow our heads this morning? This is as we go through this passage of Scripture on the Sermon on the Mount, there's some difficult things that we have to wrestle with. There's some difficult things that we have to work through, and it comes down to our heart. Just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. We just want to ask you a couple questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Maybe you've wrestled with this in the past, maybe you've never accepted and seen and believed, and you're feeling that sense this morning. Well, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today is the day of salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Next question, just to reflect on this morning, is your heart turned to Him today? Is your heart aligned with Him today? Maybe He's revealing something to you even now, that there's something in your life that is causing a misalignment between you and God. I believe even now He's revealing that to you. He's asking you this morning to put that aside, to turn away from that. The last question this morning for us is, are the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life? Upon reflection in my own life, my answer was no. So I'm asking the Lord this morning, and I'm encouraging you as well, what is getting in the way of that? Is it pride? Is it fear? Lord, reveal to us this morning those things that are blocking us from going deeper with You. Lord, reveal to us this morning that which is blocking the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, all the things that are available to us, Lord. Lord, we want to grow in each of those areas. We want that to be the fruit of our life. Lord, reveal to us this morning those things that are blocking us in our lives. Reveal it to me as well, Lord. Please, please, Lord. Lord, I just want to know You more. Father, I just thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are risen. I thank You, Lord, that we can turn our hearts to You. I thank You, Lord, that You truly are revealing to many of us in this room, Lord, the things in which we have placed as idols in our lives, things that we have placed before You, things that we hold on to tightly, that You're asking us to let go of today. Lord, we want to live out Your will for our life, Lord. Give You all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Guys, we've got some prayer teams that are going to be up here at the end of service. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, the Bible again says today is the day of salvation. So come up, pray with, just come up and say, I believe, God is working in my heart and I just want someone to pray with. Come up here, they'll pray with you. Maybe you need prayer for healing. Maybe you need prayer for relationship. Whatever it might be, there's prayer teams up here that can pray for you. And I just want to send you guys out with this benediction. And also don't stare at the sun tomorrow. Wear your glasses, get your things. Okay. It says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Amen and amen. All right, guys, you are dismissed. If you need any prayer, come on up. Otherwise, be safe tomorrow. We love you guys.